splendor of the King, Lord in majesty. Let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great. Time is in his hands, beginning and end.
Come
not hide your presence from me. Pull me from the shadows, I need you. Beauty, wrap your arms around me. Sing your song of kindness, I need you. Just thinking how the world just kind of, people you work with, not everybody, but most people, they kind of look at your dedication to the Lord and they just kind of frown upon it. They think you're extreme and they think you're really way out there for some reason or whatever. But I was talking a while ago about that other side, that other dimension, that, you know, that dimension is more real than this one is. And I was thinking, you know, whenever you hit your finger with a hammer, it hurts. And you don't need a scholar or anyone else to tell you that. Right? Right?
That's right.
You know it hurts. And nobody will talk you out of that. So no amount of whatever philosophy or anything like that will ever talk you out of that. You know it hurts. And I can't get away from the fact that whenever I leave this world, I'm going to need someone to hold my hand. Right? But God touched my life a long time ago and ingrained that into me. That God has prepared someone that can hold my hand when I cross over to the other side. And that place I'm going to is much more real than this. This is just a dream I'm having. Really. This is just a dream. Now, I'll wake up someday on the other side where reality is. And so that God just kind of burned that into my heart, and that's why it's so real to me, and that's why I guess God does that to some people, so they'll go out and tell others and tell them, you know, be ready. But so I know that I need a Savior no matter what the world does, and no matter what my coworkers or other people look and frown and say, you're just an extreme, or you don't really have to serve God with that kind of dedication or whatever. I know better. Amen. I know that it's real, that one of these days breath will leave this body. Right. I know that. I know it will happen. There's no amount of talking that can take that away from me. And so, but I also know that God has made a way for me at that time. And that's what I embrace. That's what I accept totally, completely. And so, just thinking about that, that we belong to a family and we're going to be joined together, and that reunion that we'll have at that time is much greater than anything we've ever experienced on this side. The Bible tells us that what we have here, a touch of the Holy Ghost, that's a taste of the world to come. Amen. So let's all stand as we change the service this morning. And let's sing Fill My Cup, Lord. Amen. So Brother Josh, come and minister the word of God to us this morning. And how many has great expectations this morning? Amen. Let's sing that then. Oh, fill my cup, Lord. I live.
Talked about last night being skewed, being inoperable because of our hardwiring problems of our spirit. Now we can't expect to be made whole. We can't expect to operate right. We can't expect to walk into everything God has for us as long as we're in those kind of condition. But hallelujah for God who will take you from one place and put you in another.
Amen.
That's right.
That was the children of Israel's problem. Amen. They were still thinking they were in Egypt.
Yeah.
When they were in the wilderness. And when they got to Canaan, they were still in their minds in Egypt.
That's right.
And that's why they couldn't take the land. But you know there was two who had left that all behind.
All right.
That's right.
Two who were willing to sacrifice themselves to obtain greater. So are we willing to sacrifice ourselves, our thinkings, to gain better? Are we going to be a Job? Because remember, Job didn't curse God with his mouth. He didn't sin with his mouth. He cursed the day he was born.
Yeah.
But he refused to curse God. When everything God had given to him, God allowed to be taken away. His family, his friends, his riches, everything. But he endured. You know, it's like I said last night, we can't expect to be where God wants us when we refuse to move. If I'm hungry, I go to the kitchen and I make myself some food. I don't expect to just sit there in my front room and the food to make itself and deliver itself to my table, and then I can eat it. But I literally have to get up, change my position, and go do it. Same thing spiritually.
Yeah.
To receive from God. To become filled and whole. You have to get up out of your lazy chair, your lazy boy, and stop expecting God to just hand deliver everything. And go do it. Go forth and conquer. Mm-hmm. I said every footstep is yours. But they still had to trod every single footsteps. Amen. Ephesians 4. Say amen when you got it. If something's said that strikes you and maybe you like, or make a noise. It's okay to say amen. It's okay to say I didn't catch that, or ouch. Amen. And just like Brother Tony gave me the liberty last night, so I give you liberty. Respond to the word. Because when we, you know, I say this about altar calls all the time. You know, yeah, you can sit there and receive it in your seat. But you know, when I come up to an altar, it's not because I want people to see me. It's because I'm physically testifying against Satan. I'm physically testifying against my condition and my thoughts.
Right.
I'm saying regardless of everything I think, regardless of everything that I'm listening to and hearing, I won't stand for it. Because I know, because God's promised me deliverance.
Amen.
He's promised me a fulfillment.
Right.
He's promised me wholeness, wellness. Let's see, if I just sit there and listen to the voices, I won't get anything. So sometimes we have to make a noise. Sometimes we have to step out of our comfort zones, right? Verse 17. It's so funny that, you know, all these songs this morning were about Christ coming and saving us. And yet the very first verse is in Ephesians 17. Or 4:17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth not walk as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Remember, we said that wasn't the organ beating in your chest. Through understanding, that's your spirit. Because how can your heart, how can an organ, my biceps don't think. My earlobes don't think. They perform a task. Just as your heart beats blood, it performs a task.
Yeah.
That's why the gray cells up in my skull are not my mind, but they're my brain.
Yeah.
Because the mind is in the spirit. Amen. Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him, not heard of him, heard him.
That's right.
And have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. That you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which is after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, remember we said last night, when you accept those subconscious thoughts that, and complexes that keep you down, you're lying. Because God's given you the positive of that negative for you to walk into. Wherefore, put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. God's coming. 2,000 years ago, a physical man, God in Christ redeeming the world. You know, back to him. It doesn't matter if you're saved, like I said last night. We still have to contend with our own thoughts. God knew every thought you would have, every trial you would have, every single voice that would come and speak to you. And yet he came and saved you regardless.
Amen.
In spite of us being monsters.
Yeah.
Why? Because the Bible said he came for his own. You may be seated. He didn't come for someone who was off somewhere that was just, he saw one day and thought, oh, that'd be kind of a novel idea to go save them. But he came for his own. Boy, it was the deep calling to the deep.
Right.
He didn't come for some strange woman. He came for his bride.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. Ephesians 2:11. Wherefore, remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcised by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers for the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you, recognizing without you we are inadequate. And yet, within you we can do all things. You've given us the victory. You've given us overcoming power. You've made us overcomers. Help us this morning to understand by your word, Lord. Lord, I just yield myself. Lord, as a minister, I just surrender myself to you. Because I might have some thought or some idea, Lord, but until you come, it's just dead men bones. Lord, let it not be just a good thought. Let it be quickened, your spirit to us. Quicken the word, Lord. Have thy way in us. Anoint the people, Lord Jesus. Open their hearts that they may receive, Lord. Open my heart and my mind, Lord. That I would be completely yielded and say only that which you would have me to say. So I ask that you come, Lord. Have sovereignty in this place. I just bind every spirit in this place. I bind every single demon that would come into this place, that would try to twist a person's spirit and that they wouldn't receive Christ as he is. I bind it in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I just anoint these people, Lord, with your spirit. Lord, you've already came. You've already, worship has gone up. Now speak with us, Lord, that we may listen and hear. Not be a hearer only, but a doer of your word, Lord. We'll give you the praise and the glory and honor. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse 14, he says, excuse me, for he is our, someone tell me what that says there. Peace. Who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity before, or enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them which were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. So God's not just this giant God who, you know, you have to perform certain actions before you can hear him, right? But we have, and he doesn't, well, you have to wake up, you have to dress a certain way, right? And you can pray right there in your bed, and you have access. Doesn't matter where you are, doesn't matter what you're doing, if you're his child, he's made you accessible.
Yeah.
Verse 15, he says, having abolished in his flesh, that word abolished means completely done away with, to where there's no trace of it. You know, in America we say slavery is abolished. Is it? If it's truly abolished, well, yes, we don't have slaves working on a plantation anymore. But we see the traces of it, the remnants of it in racism. It's not abolished. Sure, it's illegal. But that racism, that spirit, calls back to slavery. Why? Because racism tells you that that person you're racist against is not as good as you. And that's the ideology of slavery. That you can absolutely put that person in bondage because they're not a human being. But see, he's abolished sin, which is slavery. When he went to the cross, he abolished it so much. But when he looks at you, there's nothing, not even a trace.
Amen.
He doesn't see any hints of it. Completely abolished. It says, having slain the enmity thereby. So we're no longer God's enemy. Right? So if we have this thought that God's not going to give us something because we don't deserve it, where's that thought come from? We believe we're still his enemy. That God holds something against us. He's given us full access by one Spirit.
Amen.
He says, all that I am is yours. But we want to say, well, we can't get that because of this, that, and the other. I know. Preach me something new, preacher, right? Preach me something we didn't hear last night, right? It's all right. I sat down last night in my hotel room and I said, Lord, show me something new, please. He said, no, you just sit in that chair and you relax. You're not finished. I tried. I gave it my honest effort. And preached peace to you which were afar off. So if we go through here, verse 14, he says, he is our peace. Amen. Verse 15, so making peace. Verse 17, so he came and preached peace. His Spirit is our peace. It brings us peace in our life if we follow it and walk in it. And he preaches peace. Not legalism, not you have to perform to be acceptable. The scripture says you already have access.
Amen.
1 John. So for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Let's see an attribute of this spirit. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Verse 1. 1 John 4:1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out in the world. So how do we try it? How do we try spirits? How do we try whether someone's a false prophet or not, or teaching false things? They teach the true word, or they're false. You, like Brother Branham said, take everything I say, take it back to the word, because that's the foundation. Paul said, here is the foundation. I have made the foundation. And if no other can make another foundation. And that's why he could then say, if any man, angel, or anything else come preaching another gospel, let him be accursed.
Amen.
Why? Because if they're doing that, they're not building on a foundation. They're trying to rebuild a new foundation.
That's right.
Exactly right.
It's like the man that built his house on the solid rock. The other man built his house on the beach. So in every spirit, is it two, verse 2, hereby we know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And that come in is actually one word in the Greek. Or is come, rather. Is come is one word. And it literally means, and can only, it means is, present tense, and it can only be used in present tense. And at this time, the corporeal body of Jesus Christ was already off the scene. So if Jesus Christ has came back on the scene in the flesh, where is he? So where is he? Someone answer me. Where is he? Amen. Because remember, he came for his own. She is him. Flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, power of his power. Spirit of his spirit. John was talking about the bride. And every spirit that confesseth not. That's why Trinitarian doctrine is so wrong. One of the reasons. Because it takes you out of the Godhead. You realize that? We're part of the Godhead. You cannot have a full and complete Godhead without the bride. Why? Because she's Christ. Because if you don't have a bride in there, then you don't have a full Jesus. And if you don't have a full Jesus, you have half a God. I don't know about you, but I want a full God.
Amen.
That's the beauty of it. He creates a world, puts man in it, and then allows them to sit. Why? So, you know, we say, oh, that it, you know, we see all these people that say, well, if he's such a great God, then why do all these horrible things happen? How else do you expect him to manifest his attributes?
That's right.
How do you expect to know him as a healer if you're not sick?
That's right.
If you don't have wounds? How do you expect him to be a guide if you can't get lost? A savior if you don't need redeeming? A lover if you're already full of love? A companion if you're not lonely? How? So let me put it this way. If God has all these attributes and you're a part of God, don't you realize you are literally a manifested attribute of God?
Amen.
That each person in this building is here for everyone else.
Right.
That's right.
And, you know, that's why we shouldn't talk bad about people.
Amen.
No, we shouldn't gossip, tell tales. Amen. Is that right?
That's right.
We shouldn't tell tales.
Right.
Now, there's a difference between telling the truth of a matter But talking to injure someone's image, we shouldn't do that.
Amen.
And sometimes truth-telling turns into gossip if we're not careful.
Right.
But you know, it's like my mom always said, if you don't have nothing nice to say, don't say it. I'm guilty of it, just as much as anyone else in this room. I'm not standing up here with angel wings and a halo. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. You know, that's return ministry. You know, Brother Brennan has to come back to prepare us. That's what the Holy Ghost is for.
That's right.
Yeah.
And see, they think Brother Branham has to get us ready to receive the Holy Ghost. You know, you talk to some of these people. Say, oh, well, he's going to come back, he's going to build a tent, then we'll be, you know, made ready to receive the Holy Ghost. You come too late, I've already got it, I'm sorry. You can wait on a dead man to come back. You know, you can wait on a carcass. I'm waiting on my God. But even in this message, people want to take your place away. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. You know, people want to destroy this message. Why? Because if they destroy this message, they don't have any way they want. And still say they're Christians. Remember, we talked about in Kings, how Solomon had to get the whole tabernacle in order. And how the Shekinah glory of God would come down. And felt it so much that people couldn't operate in their office. God called offices. And they could not operate in them. Because God's greatness and His glory. You know, we need to get that. We need to get our tabernacles in order to such a point where that Shekinah glory comes down. To where this guy can't operate. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world.
Amen.
They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, he that knoweth God heareth us, he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So when the Holy Ghost comes down and speaks a word, and you come to church and you hear it, and maybe someone amens it, and then that person goes out, and all they can talk about after service is worldly things. Oh, did you see the last episode of such and such a show? Oh, have you heard the new rock and roll album? Now, there's nothing wrong with talking about our jobs. There's nothing wrong with, you know, talking about things that really bother us. But when our minds are so full of the things of worldliness, the world system of unbelief, when our mind's eye are on fantasies and imaginations, it's no wonder we are where we are. It's no wonder the rapture hasn't happened. So many of us focus on the things of this world. We are not earthly beings. Yes, we have a flesh body. Absolutely. But one day this flesh will cease.
That's right.
And Paul said, if this tabernacle ceases, if it goes away, if it dissolves, I have another one waiting for me.
That's right.
Do you have that assurance? Do we have that assurance?
Amen.
Not just because the Bible says it. Because we could take this Bible and say amen to every word and not believe it.
That's right.
We'd have a mental conception of it and say, well, that's true because it's in the Bible. But do we really have that expectation that as soon as we draw our last breath, that we're just going to take another step? I know this isn't bless God anyway. He came to save us. I want us to think about this for a second. The person who framed the worlds into existence. Framed the worlds that are in existence by just word. A mere word. Did it all for you. He didn't need the stars. He didn't need planet Earth. But what did he need? He needed to manifest himself.
Right.
See, when the deep calls to the deep, it's not a chicken calling to an eagle or a donkey calling to a giraffe.
That's right.
The same, very same deep that's calling to the deep, they're all the same.
Good.
Because word must be with word. Romans 8:16. All things must be dovetailed, as we like to say in this message. It just dovetails. But I find like a lot of people, they want to take little quirks and little sayings and try to prove that their beliefs and that their message and their this by little sayings. And to them, it's nothing but a club. Because the message is not a church building. It's not. I'm not a message believer because I come to a church that preaches that Brother Branham was the last stage prophet and the revealed word for this day.
That's right.
Not. I'm not a message believer because of the way, you know, I dress. Because when I was 16 years old, I was called to become a Christian. It was my manifesting time. I was out in the world. I was depressed out of my mind, doing drugs and alcohol. I didn't even know what the message was. So I got baptized. And from then on, I had my identification. Still wasn't considered what we call message. But do you realize I was message?
Right.
You're not message because of a certain set of doctrines you believe. Mm-hmm. Brother Branham said your attitude is more important than doctrine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because if your attitude is rotten and set in concrete where you believe that everything you believe is concrete, and your attitude stinks, and your doctrines are wrong, you won't change. But if your doctrines are horrible and wrong, and your attitude aligns with God's Spirit, you'll change. Because that's a spirit, that's a heart he can get into.
Right.
That's a tater patch he can mess with. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Yeah.
Romans 8:16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God.
Amen.
And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we come to a message church with him. That we profess that Brother Branham was the prophet. That we change the way we dress. We throw our TV out the window and stop associating with so-called sinners. Because do you realize a sinner, if they are a seed of God? I told my friend one time, I said, you know, yes, I was lost, but I've always been saved. Always. Because from the foundations of the world, I was saved. I was glorified before the foundations of the world. skip over to 28 or 29. For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestine. Foreknow, this is before the foundations of the world, before you were ever a physical manifestation. He also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, he also called. Whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Amen. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?
Right, right.
Sometimes we're going to think God's this big old mean guy up in the clouds who's going to rain on your parade every day. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I'm not a child because I go to a message church. I'm not a child because I read the books and listen to the tapes. I'm not. I'm a child because His Spirit in me beareth witness. That's why you have so many people in message churches who are not Christians. Who, if they went up against a nominal Christian, they would be blown away. Yeah, they may not dress right, but their attitude towards God. If children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. The Bible says the spiritual man judges all things. He judges his life. Because before you can judge out there, you have to judge in here. You have to. But too many times we think we're spiritual because we're judging someone else. But we have to suffer with him. How do we suffer? That's not an all-inclusive to just having been scoffed at for our beliefs. Paul says, crucify your flesh daily. You have to suffer yourself. You have to put in action your suffering. You have to put away the things of this world. You have to put away your unbelief. You have to put away your complexes and your fears. You know, because God didn't come for us to stay in bondage. He didn't. The Bible says we are to, that He gives us life and life abundantly. Okay. So why are we lazy boy Christians? Why? Why are we expecting someone else to get up and do something when we refuse to do it and then we judge them for not doing it right? Amen?
That's right.
Oh, that preacher didn't preach that right. Oh, that sister didn't sing that special right. Or that brother, he didn't treat his wife right. And yet you sit there and neglect your own wife. You sit there and you make mistakes when you sing specials. And, you know, and you try to get up behind the pulpit and you can't even.
Yeah.
That is the biggest mystery I've ever seen. Is how people can judge ministers for preaching. Oh, he didn't say this right. Or he was looking right at me, so he was hitting me. He was judging me. We've all done it. Because we still have this guy. But yet those same people who say those things wouldn't dare come up here. Or if they did, the fear. Because if you've ever come up to address someone, I'm not just talking public speaking. Because here's the thing. Paul said, I want to come to you to impart a spiritual blessing. That's what preaching is. You have to be called to give something out. Right? Lord Jesus. Romans 7. 15. But just because we make mistakes doesn't mean we're not Christians either. Just because we're justified doesn't mean we're glorified. Amen. The manifestation of that glorification has not happened. For that which, listen, he says, for that which I do, I allow not. For that I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. So here Paul is saying, I know what's good, I know what's right, but I can't seem to get myself under control. I know I shouldn't talk about people. I know I shouldn't bully people. I know I shouldn't put whatever you want in there. Whatever you're doing that you... Amen? If then I do that which I would not, I consent in all that is good. He understands that these things that he's doing are wrong. It says, now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Because see, there's a difference between having a doctrine and a revelation. It's different than, there's a difference between, well, the Bible says it, so I have to do it, legalism and faith. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would do not, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Constantly finding himself in positions that he doesn't want to be in. Like Brother Tony said last night, where you get to a place and you just blow it. You know? Now if I do that that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Skip over to Romans 8, 1. There is now therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. He was just talking about sin being in his members, right? But now he's saying there's no condemnation. What's the change? Keep reading. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, as good as it was, in that it was weak through the flesh. Why? Because we cannot attain to the law in the flesh. God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in your neighbor. And us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Yeah. This is how we walk in victory. A sustained victory. Right. Will you have ups and downs? Absolutely, you will have ups and downs. Yeah. You will sometimes blow it. Amen? Yeah. You know, God doesn't see our mistakes. You realize that? If I blow it, yes, I should repent. Yeah, but do you know what? You also have to learn to forgive yourself.
Amen. That's right.
Because if you hold that shame over yourself, you won't move when God asks you to.
That's right.
Because you'll build up a complex. I'm not good enough. I can't do this. And then sooner or later, you'll be looking for someone to prove you wrong. And because no one can, because no one can look into your spirit without the unction of the Holy Spirit revealing that to them. Without that gift of discernment. No one's going to be able to pull that out of you and explain it and show you what God wants you to do. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy of failure. I failed because I know I'm going to fail. You know, that kind of thing. I believe I'm going to fail, so I fail. But if we walk in the flesh, if we walk, what did I say last night? That expectation, faith in action is expectation. Regardless of what I think, regardless of what feelings I have, I won't fail. Because He said I won't fail. And I hold Him accountable. Because the thing is, I'm in a flesh body. I am going to fail. I am going to sin till the day I die. Because listen, sin is not, you know, action. Sin, action, that action is the manifestation of the sin within me. Right? Because sin is just unbelief. Like Brother Branham said, drinking's not a sin. Smoking's not a sin. But it's produced by not believing God on His promise and not believing His word when it says, don't do these things. Otherwise, if you believed that He was true and those things were wrong, you wouldn't do it. Hebrews 11. I know I'm hitting a couple of scriptures we hit last night, but just bear with me. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By the elders obtained a good report. Verse 30, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. This is the power of faith, people. So that the laws, or so that the things which are seen were not made by things which do appear. Let's rewind to Joshua. Okay, so God's put all this stuff into law. He has all these laws. The orbits are kept by His word. The stars in constellation. Everything is made by God's law. Right? Are you following me here? Okay. So a man without the Holy Ghost comes along. And God tells him, this battlefield is yours. This battle is yours. Victory will be yours. Until the sun goes down. A, he didn't have the Holy Ghost. B, he didn't have full understanding of the stars and the solar system. But you know what he did have? Faith. He had faith in action. Joshua had faith in action. Because when that sun was coming down, you know, sun doesn't go down, but we still call it a sunset. He said, no, this battle is mine. So he reaches down by faith and says, sun, stand still. Sun was already standing still. Regardless of his understanding, when he spoke out in faith, it stopped the laws of God. Do you realize this? Faith literally stopped the laws of God from moving. That's the power of faith. Amen. When God said, this is the order I want this universe to be in. And one man in faith without the Holy Ghost stands on that faith, stands on the promise of God, and says, stand still!
That's right. Right.
Everything goes, whoa. And God allowed it.
Right. Yep.
Because God said, this victory is yours.
That's right. Amen.
So when we come to a victory, when God says, this is yours, and you don't have a full understanding of how it could be, or the circumstances make you think that it's not going to be.
Uh-huh.
You just had to stand by faith and say, I don't care what the circumstances say. That's I don't care what my feelings say. This is going to happen by faith because God told me so.
Amen.
But we don't want to stand by faith. We want to stand by circumstances and what people do. The thing is, your actions have come too late to dissuade me from God. I don't care what you do. You can accept it, you can reject it. I'll go on with God and you can stay where you are. That should be every believer's stance. Yeah, sometimes we don't understand why people do things. And that's fine. That's normal. I don't understand some of the things that happen in my church or my family or my work. By people who claim to be Christians. And yet I can't dwell on that. I have to keep moving on.
That's right. Amen.
Because look up, for thy redemption draweth nigh.
Amen.
Not to the side. It says look neither left or right, but look up.
Right.
So if I'm walking along with Christ and I see this commotion over here that's being made by a brother or a sister, and I just sit there and I'm focused, Jesus keeps going. You realize this, right? It's called a walk for a reason. If you stand there, you're going backwards because Jesus is keep going.
That's right. All right. Yes.
You know, people want to discredit this prophet because in certain dates he said this. And I said, listen, it's called progressive revelation for a reason.
Uh-huh.
Were you born, when you came to Christ and were saved, did you have all the revelations?
No.
Neither did I, and neither did Brother Branham. Because the thing is, yes, he was a prophet. Yes, he was vindicated by God.
Right.
But he was a human.
That's right. Amen.
The Bible says Christ had progressive revelation. You realize this? The Word itself had progressive revelation.
That's right.
He learned by the things he suffered.
That's right. That's right.
You mean Jesus Christ had to learn? Yeah. Yeah, he had to learn. So what makes us any different?
Right.
What makes us think we somehow have some market on this gospel, on this so-called message? Because anymore, this whole message deal, anymore it's nothing but a denomination. Am I a message believer? Absolutely. But like I said, message is not a church, it's not a pastor, it's, you know, you go to some of these conventions, oh, whose church do you go to? Oh, I go to Jesus Christ's church. How's that? It doesn't matter what my pastor's name is. It doesn't. It's not a popularity contest.
Right, right. Amen.
My pastor is Jesus. He comes every Sunday, he stands behind a pulpit, and he preaches. Jesus Christ is come in the flesh.
Right.
You know, Jesus sits next to me. Jesus sits behind me. Jesus preaches up there. He plays the music.
Right.
Goofy, I know, but that's the truth of it. Well, we want to just, you know, believe a doctrine just because that's what the Bible says it. Or we want to rely on Brother Branham for our revelation. Because Brother Branham said it must be true, right? That is the biggest thing. I hate that.
Yeah, right.
Because Brother Branham says something, we have to automatically believe it. Brother Branham himself said, take everything
that's
I say.
That's right.
Not when you don't understand it. He said, take it. Just take it and bring it back to the Word.
That's right.
He's saying, test me, try me.
Yep.
Prove me. Why? Because he didn't want a bunch of idiot robots to just believe in something because he said it.
Right.
Because they knew people would do that.
That's right.
And they did.
Yep.
That's why we have so much confusion and mix-up.
Right.
Because they rely on quotes and build this thing up with quotes and they have an airplane. You know, Brother Branham's going to come back and have a tent meeting or shoot a bear and fly around in a jet plane and get the bride ready. Brett, gets yourself ready.
Yeah.
His ministry is over.
Right.
Revelation says it. John took the book, which was the bride.
That's right.
Not Brother Branham. That angel's ministry. Yes, it continues on through the bride.
That's right.
Absolutely. She's not bringing something new. She's not going to bring some... He said, you will prophesy again. It's a repeat.
Right.
It's not something new. It is the Word.
Right.
You need to stop relying on Brother Branham. Well, Brother Branham this, and Brother Branham this. Well, what did God tell you? When is it going to be a personal relationship with you and Christ?
Amen.
You know, just personally it bothers me when I see pictures of Brother Branham up in a sanctuary. It distracts me. Because there's a picture of a man on the wall. I'm there to hear about Jesus. Amen? And that's just a personal thing of mine. Not that it's necessarily wrong. But when we get so focused on a man and stop having a personal relationship with the Savior. Listen, He came for a personal relationship. He didn't come for some corporate relationship. We think, oh, the bride is this, you know, big group. But it's made up of little pieces. And without one of those little pieces, it is not complete. We have to have that personal relationship. Because I'll put it this way, without a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the prophet means nothing. And he does you no good. Because the prophet by himself cannot bring you to Christ any more than I can, Brother Daniel Black can, or Brother Tony can, or any other brother in here. We're all men. Yes, we hold offices called by God. But we need a personal relationship with Christ. We have to be able to, when we hit our knees, instead of thinking, well, Brother Branham said he'll be here when I get on my knees, so he's here. We need to get on our knees and say, oh, Lord Jesus, you're here because I know you're here. You've told me personally.
Yeah.
When it stops being a doctrine, it starts being a faith matter.
Yes.
When it stops being up here, it starts being down here.
Amen.
Right. How do you expect to walk in the Spirit if you don't walk in the Spirit? Me believing a doctrine is not walking in the Spirit. Amen. You say, well, bless God, God sent a prophet. That means nothing. Amen. Without the rest of it, without everything else in order as well, it means nothing. You know, I hear these stories of people going out and witnessing, God sent a prophet, God sent a prophet. Yes, that's true, God did send a prophet. But why are you focusing on a man? Because in this day and age, every time I've seen it, the people think, you're crazy. People don't want to accept a prophet these days. Why? They don't want to be told what's right or wrong. They don't. So if you present love to them through a loving Savior, which is the original plan in the beginning, they're more apt to accept that than some doctrine. Because this is the loneliest generation there is. We have more technology. We're more connected to everyone. And yet we're so cold in our relationships where we'd rather text than call. We'd rather be on Facebook than have a real face-to-face personal relationship.
That's right.
You know, I'd rather whip out my phone, some of us. We'd rather whip out our phones and text Brother Daniel instead of come over here and sit with him and put our arm around him and tell him we love him. This gospel isn't about believing a doctor, believing God sent a prophet. It's about having the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Because that's what makes us ready.
That's right.
Because without the Holy Ghost, the prophet's nothing. Paul's nothing. James nothing. The Bible's nothing. It becomes just a book. Just a tale, a story. But if our thinking on it is wrong, we won't accept it as what it truly is. And God, the holiest of holies, the purest of pures, the creator of all things, comes down to a messed up people and says, I love you regardless. In the face of all your mistakes, I love you and I'm going to give my life for you. Who else has done that?
Right.
Who else can?
Right.
And we hear, oh, I'll take a bullet for you. Yeah, you would. You'd run right out that door. When it came time, you're nothing but a Peter before his regeneration. And some people might. Some people do have that courage. But the thing is, it doesn't mean anything. Because all you're looking at is a flesh body. Jesus didn't come to save our flesh. He came to save our souls.
Yeah, right.
And we can walk out that door. But you know, we will never walk out these doors the same as when we walked in.
That's right.
We will either be worse and heading for a decline, or we'll be going up.
Yeah.
It's your choice. It's my choice. You can either feed or refuse to feed.
That's right.
God's given you someone, you know, given you the ministry in this church to feed you. And you sit there and look at their personal lives, look at their flesh and say, that man doesn't do this right. This man doesn't do that right. He doesn't say these things right. He doesn't preach to me what I want to be preached at. So I'm just going to sit here and not be fed. When God's called him to feed you the way he's called, been called to feed you, regardless of how you want to eat.
That's right.
I want taters. Well, bless God, you're getting green beans. I want to, you know, it's how baby little kids are, right?
Yeah. That's right.
Let's stop being babies.
Amen.
Let's be men and women of the gospel. Yeah. Let's really stand up and say, you know what? I may not believe some of these things. I may not understand some of these things. It may go against everything I think. But he's proven it. How many times has he proven to us that he is God and that he is love?
Yeah.
Even him coming down just once in a personal way to bless you. That's all Brother Branham said he doesn't ever have to deal with you ever again.
That's right.
That's it. Look at Cain and Abel. Cain was circumcised. He was hell bound. There was nothing he could do to save himself. And he loves God. He loved God. Look at what he did. He spent a whole season farming a cursed ground to bring up vegetables, which again spoke back to the lie he even told him. And God comes to him and says, if you do right. Came to him. Talk face to face with the serpent seed. Did it to Judas, so why can't he do it to Cain? Said, if you would do right, if you would be accepted in the beloved, I will accept you. And the word that's used, let's go to that real quick. Because I want to remember that use that word. Genesis 4. Accepted. That's what I thought. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire. And thou shalt rule over him. That word accepted, if you look it up in the Hebrew, it means exalted. Mm-hmm. It means a change of station.
Right.
To where God himself would literally accept someone who is a servant. Do you realize this? If he could really do what was right, God would say, okay, I will accept you. And if God tells you something, it's the truth. It just is. Mm-hmm. But what did he end up doing? He killed his brother. You know, God didn't ever have to come down and talk to him ever again. He didn't even owe him this in the beginning. He didn't. He could have just stayed silent. But because Cain loved him so much, he came down and talked to him. But I see your love for me. I recognize your love for me. So do what's right. So he goes and kills his brother in anger. And God comes to him again. You know, Cain gets angry because God curses him. But God tells him, the ground's cursed again for you. God was blessing the ground that was already cursed so that he could get this season of what? He was recognizing the love of Cain. Amen. You know, in Hebrews, we always have such, well, this is what faith means, and that is what faith means. If you look at the Greek in Hebrews, where it says faith is a substance, the word, one of the definitions for substance is, well, Brother Daniel, why don't you tell me what this third word is?
Person.
What's that mean? What kind of person would faith be? So how do we get faith? Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. That's why Cain could not do right.
because he had no room for Jesus in his heart. Sure, he loved the idea of church. He loved the idea of religion. He was in love with it, just like these women we see and these men who are so in love with just the fact of love that they'll go and scar themselves up, relationship after relationship after relationship, looking for love. And they're not looking to for someone to really love them, just that they can feel loved.
That's right.
Amen. Expectation is manifested when faith becomes your absolute reality. Remember, he said that's when it comes to pass. When it becomes your reality, when it's faith, that's when it comes to pass. But you know, Joshua needed faith. Without faith, walls of Jericho would have never came down. They would have never brought back a good, him and Caleb would have never brought back a good testimony. He would have never stopped the laws of God by faith. Without faith, this life means nothing. Literally. For what is life? What is it? It's a feather on the wind. You know, you can see it for a little bit, then it's gone. Right? Tossed to and fro by the wind. Because what is life? Life is just a set of circumstances that happen. But by faith, you can control those circumstances. And you can control your destination. I'm leaving today. I'm going to go home. That's my reality. I expect to go home. I expect to pull into my driveway. I expect to open up my door and sit down on my couch and relax. What's your expectation? I mean, it sounds silly, but what's our spiritual expectation? For every moment. What's our vision? Solomon said that, you know, Proverbs, without a vision, people die. Do you even want the Holy Ghost? Do we want the life of Christ in our lives? Do we want to live like Christ? Because Peter said, you know, he said, will you leave me too? And Peter spoke up and said, where else can we go?
Right.
And yet when it came time, when the rubber met the road, he ran. He cut a man's ear off. I bet he never expected to do that. You know. But where's your destination? Like I said, life is a bunch of circumstances. It's day to day. Not month to month. Not year to year. It's day to day. Am I walking in the Spirit every day? When I get up, do I hit my knees or pray where I am? You know, regardless. You know, it doesn't matter your posture when you pray. Some people can say, you have to get on your knees. The Bible says when you stand and pray. I mean, come on. It doesn't matter. But when you pray, when you get up in the morning, what's your thoughts?
Yeah.
That'll tell you where you are and where you're headed.
Yes. That's right.
For just that day. You know, when I wake up and I don't pray and I don't really read my Bible and I can expect to have a terrible day.
Yeah.
Why? Because I haven't crucified my flesh. I haven't put myself down and laid myself in the presence of God and said, Lord, you take this day.
Right.
But if I don't believe He'll give it to me, why would I ask, right? If we don't expect to hear from God, then we won't have our faith manifesting in an expectation. I didn't come to preach about the Holy Ghost. It was not in my notes. I wasn't coming. I was just coming to preach on exercising your faith. I'm astounded at how many times I go to preach something. And a lot of times I might as well just throw my notes out. Notes that God had me look over. And then he's like, you know what? Throw them out. You might hit a couple notes. And you know what I figured it out? I figured it out why he does that. My notes are not for you guys. My notes are for me. That way I can come up here pretty much prepared to preach. It's pretty much a humor thing, okay? To get you to the spot where you're ready and your mind's on me and exactly what I, you know, I'll give you some notes and I'll give you a thought and I'll even give you a little bit of space to preach on those notes. And it'll be truth and I'll be with you and it is my plan. However, I'll make you go off and I'll have you really preach what I needed you to preach because those people needed something. Someone in here needs this. We shouldn't go out that door. Listen, you are not promised tomorrow. You're not promised. How many times have we seen a young man or a young woman die of cancer or get hit by a car? We say, oh, that's a tragedy. And then we just walk off and live our lives any way we want. Without fear of the eternal. Because it's too uncomfortable to face. Because we don't know where we're going. But you see, if you have the Holy Ghost, you already know where you're going. Why? Because you're already home. Realize that. You're already home. We say this is a pilgrim land, but it's not. Yes, this world cosmos makes it a pilgrim land, but do you realize we're not going to spend eternity in heaven? We're coming back here. This is our home. So then I saw a city adorned like a bride to meet her husband, the mount. Bride's home. We'll go to the wedding supper. We'll rejoice. And then we're coming back to rule and reign. What? With ten thousands of his saints. Right? All riding on white horses. All given a brand new name that only he can give us. Or you can face the lake of fire. It's your choice. It's been presented. Musicians, you can come. I hate to end on such a sober moment, but sometimes we need to realize the depth and the importance of our lives and what we're doing with our lives. Sometimes it does feel like there's no point in it all. Sometimes it feels like, you know, but you know what, that's a feeling. And while feelings are important, they are not absolute. They are very temporary. I may be angry one moment and sweet the next because of an emotional response. They are not absolute and they do not determine the truth and reality of a situation. That's why our emotions always get us in trouble. Almost always. Well, he said this about me. I'm not going to fellowship with him. That's an emotional response. Because you feel hurt. Let's go ahead and play something, brother. You know, we don't need to lay hands on you. We don't even need an altar call. In Acts it says, as he was preaching, they received the Holy Ghost. The very same way they did at Pentecost. They received the Holy Ghost. What was it? They had to receive it. They received it as he was speaking it. So as each Sunday comes in, every time you listen to a sermon, every time you read your Bible, every time you crack it open or press play, be in expectation to receive from the Lord. It may not come today, it may not come tomorrow, But if you're seed, it will come.
Because that's the thing, don't you see? God loves you so much. He says, I walk to and fro, hunting to see who I can bless. But if your attitude's wrong, if you don't want a blessing and you don't expect a blessing, you'll walk right on by. And you won't receive, and you'll say, why doesn't he bless me? Why doesn't he? Oh, he's a no good God. I might as well just never come back. And you blame it on him when it's our fault. But he hunts. It is his desire to bless us because he loves you so much. Lord. He wants us to wake up and realize that it's not just coming into a church building, to come into a church building and hearing the word, to hear the word. But he's doing it to shake us. Because he's hunting. When you come in and you sit down, and God anoints a man to come up and preach a sermon, it's not that man preaching from his own heart what he thinks he should preach. And I find that most people, unless they've been under the anointing of God behind a pulpit, they will never realize the depth of this. But when a man steps up and he yields himself, he literally becomes possessed by the Spirit of God. Literally. To where when he speaks, is he infallible? No. But that Spirit that's controlling him is. That's why some men can get behind a pulpit and they'll say something that might not be right. I've had it happen to me. I'll say something that's completely wrong. Because I don't have the understanding of it right then. And then 3, 4, 5, whatever minutes later, God brings my mind back to that point and says, you have to correct that because you were wrong. And I have to correct it. This is important soul stuff. This is eternal. We'll leave here, we'll go eat something, whatever. Those tacos and hamburgers, those are not eternal. This is what comes into a man will go into his belly and out the waist. But what comes from a man's heart is what defiles him. So what's coming from your heart? Is it defiling you or bringing you closer to the Lord? Because that's what we need. That's what we need. We need to wake up every day and experience a refilling. We need to come into His presence expecting. Because the thing is, don't you realize we're always in the presence of God? Always. Just because we cannot sense it does not mean His presence is gone. That's why when He comes in like that. Because He just pulls back the veil. And He's been there the whole time. But see, if we're not concentrating and really in expectation for that thing, for His presence. That's why when you go to pray, the Bible says you ask amiss. You have not because you ask amiss. Expectation. God loves you more than you can ever imagine. More than we want to even be loved. He loves us even more. Say, I want the Holy Ghost. He goes, good, so do I. I want you to have the Holy Ghost. Now you receive it. Oh, I can't right now because of this. He goes, okay, we'll wait. I'll wait. You realize we make Him wait. We don't need an altar call. Those people received it as He went mid-sermon. Why? Faith. They believed. They were expecting. And when that came, they received it. Why? Because they were expecting to receive it. They recognized it. Let us recognize God in our day. Not in a church book. Not even in this. Because this, you can burn this, you can throw it in the trash. But it's what's inside. The person of what this is speaking of. The person of what Brother Branham preached. The essence. We need that. Because without that, you won't go where God wants you to go. It didn't say He walks to and fro seeking His bride. It says anyone. Those who will be blessed. He walks to and fro.
rain falls on the just and the unjust. Would you rather be an unjust weed? Would you rather be unjust, receiving a blessing that's going to end? Or would you rather accept that rain as a just person? Because remember, Brother Brandon said, they both raised their hand to God. They both worship God. Yet one's unjust. And our lives always portray God. The love of God. Amen? Because if God hunts us down to impart to us love and healing and salvation to make us whole, how much should we do that with others? When we see a brother or a sister or a friend or a family member who we would consider straight out or not even considering a life with Christ, should we shun them? Or should we love them? Should we Bible beat them? Yes. There's parts in the Bible where we can, you know, you do shun some people for some things according to Scripture. We understand these things. But you don't exile people. You know, Paul said, you put them out from underneath the blood. That Satan will destroy the flesh, that God can come and save the soul. That's for bringing back. That's not for exile. We should love all people. We should be able to wrap our hands around one another. Regardless of what they're wearing, show love regardless. Because that's what this generation is seeking. It's the most detached generation. Searching for something to fill them up. So show them that which will fill them up. That they'll never thirst again. It's like the woman at the well. She wasn't a priestess. You know, it wasn't a priest he went to. It wasn't some clean person. It was a harlot. He said, I'm going to give you water. And instead of saying, well, you know, this water's fine for me, she dropped her bucket and ran into town. Why? She was in expectation. She said earlier, we're waiting. We know that the Messiah cometh. She was in expectation for salvation. She knew she was a sinner. She understood these things. But she knew a man would come. And he fixed everything. Are you expecting someone to come and fix everything? Or do you think you're unfixable? Let's go to the Lord. Lord God, I love you, Lord. Your ultimate wisdom and your ultimate plan. Thank you for everything you've spoken this morning. Lord, I just ask that you take me, Lord, and if I've done anything wrong, by thy Spirit, Lord, correct me, and I would make it right. Lord Jesus, I just ask that you take this word this morning right into our hearts. And if there be anyone here, Lord, that be in need of your salvation, your Holy Ghost, Lord, haunt them. Hunt them down, Lord. Don't let them rest. Don't let them succeed. Let them, Lord, come to wrestle with you, Lord, till they find that you are the answer, Lord, and that their life is completely changed. Lord, touch the sinew of their hips, Lord, that they would walk spiritually different, walk according to you. Lord, impart in us a refilling every day. Let us give you the glory and the honor. Praise you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Be with each one of us, Lord Jesus. Touch our faith, Lord, that we would receive from you, that we would be in expectation from you, that when we wake up and when we take that step, well, that first step of the day, it would be in possession of receiving from you. That's what expectation is. Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Today, give us a lot to think about. You know, the gospel is pretty simple. Man makes it complicated. And so I'd just like to take a couple of minutes to take it back to simplicity. That, you know, there's only one God, and there's a devil. God is for you, Satan is against you. Pretty simple, right? Black or white. We're in this life, and we are influenced either from above or from beneath. So we're either influenced by God or by the enemy. God wants to help you. God's provided the way for your help. Satan wants to hinder you from getting to that help. The scripture says Satan, he's the prince of the power of the air, right? Satan has transformed himself also into an angel of light. So you automatically see that you're going to have a hard time, you know, in yourself differentiating between one and the other, because of the, you know, angel of light and then Satan transformed into one. And so, but it's still simple. God's provided it, Satan's against it, and Satan wants to come and confuse the simplicity of the gospel. What would he use? What would Satan use to do that? Do you think he would have any limits on what he would use for his resources? So, do you think he would cause you to doubt yourself?
No.
I think he would. Cause us to doubt ourselves. He'd cause you to doubt your ministry, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
I know that I'm saying things that I know that he's done. He'd cause you to doubt the prophet or the messenger of your age.
Right.
He'd cause you to doubt the scriptures.
Mom.
What else would he do?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? People have said, well, when Satan opens his mouth, it's a lie. Well, that's really, there's a lot of truth to that, see, because he's against the gospel and he's, and, you know, it's like, we always say something about the scarecrow. And Brother Branham pointed this out, when the crow's flying over and he looks down in the field and sees a scarecrow sitting out there, and he looks at that, if he had some intelligence about him, knew what was going on, he'd say, you know what, there's something in that field they don't want me to have.
That's right.
There's something good laying there. That's why they went through the trouble.
That's right.
To lay something out there.
Come on.
to keep you from trying to get to that which is good.
Come on.
Well, God has provided that which is good throughout the ages, but what's happened?
Come on.
Satan's put up all kinds of scarecrows everywhere.
Right.
And so, let me take it back to the simplicity of it. We got an enemy, and he's real.
Amen.
But we need to study his tactics and realize, you know what? He's fighting for his life. Because the Bible says that when this pride goes up, right, he comes down with great wrath, knowing that he has just a short time. Because he knows. And so he's fighting for his life. And you and I are too. Amen?
Amen.
To finish our course and to finish it well. But to believe God is simple. To take his word, to take his truth, and act upon it is just as simple as can be. I shared with a couple of saints that's telling about it, but a couple of weeks ago, I was called to the hospital to pray with an elderly man who's in his 70s. And Brother Perriman probably said, well, that's not old, but this man, his name is Damon, and he had something happen to him. He'd only been to church a couple of times in his life. But he'd had something one day, he's getting in bad health, and he said one day, all of a sudden he just had a day where everything was full of, he said, just joy. Peace, just joy. He said, I thought I knew what joy was. And he said, and he didn't know the Lord. See, he didn't know when this happened. He said, he told me, that left a hunger in me. That day, when I had that day full of joy, that day left me with a hunger. Well, that hunger is what wound up having me be called to the hospital to come and pray with him. And I told him, I said, well, you know what you have to do? You need to repent, you know, ask, you know, for your sins. He said, I don't even know how to do that. He was totally, completely unlearned about how to find God and how to deal with the emotions he had inside. But he told me, he said, I heard a song, and he said it was just a sentence or two, and it just repeated over and over and over and over. And it didn't have any music to it. And he said, and the words were so beautiful. He said, it just gripped me. And he said, it's something about your sacrifice was a perfect sacrifice for me, or something like that. And I said, Damon, I said, do you think that was talking about Jesus Christ? And he said, well, it had to. It had to be talking about him. So he didn't know how to find the Lord, and I talked him through it. I said, well, here's how this works. Here's what God has done. And I said, we will pray in just a little bit with you. And so Brother Brian Melton was there in the room. And so I'm speaking simplicity. Man didn't know scriptures. He said, the only thing I remember about scriptures was something about walking through a valley of a shadow of death. He said, that's the only thing I remember as a kid, just the one or two times I went to church. So he didn't know the scriptures. He didn't know how to pray. He didn't know how to find God. But just in talking to him and telling him, this is what has happened here. And then kneeling beside his bed in that hospital room and praying with him. And when we got through praying with him, and it was a wonderful time, he just, as soon as we finished praying, he kind of turned his head over and looked up at Brother Brian. And he's just an old country boy. But he said, you know what? He said, if I was to pass over right now, I don't reckon I'd be aggravated about it. Now look at the simplicity. What does that tell you? That man found something.
Amen.
He wasn't full of scriptures. He wasn't full of a bunch of nonsense.
Come on.
He wasn't full of any scarecrows.
Come on.
But he found God.
Amen.
Went back the next night or a night or two later, and Sister Crystal was there this time, and we read scriptures and prayed for a while. And he told us, he said, you know what? And I forget how he said it. If you remember, you correct me. But he said, you three are the closest thing that I've ever come across. Right? Well, that's the way it ought to be. We have a message that will touch lives. But listen, Satan's out there with his scarecrows. But we do have a gospel. And if it's lived right, and if it's believed right, and we walk it right, brothers and sisters, it will get attention.
Right? Amen.
And I know the message has had its problems.
That's right.
But listen, God's still got a people, and we don't need to let the stain on the American flag doesn't mean we aren't Americans anymore.
Right.
And the problems we've had, or whatever, you know, the apostles, they had disagreements. But that ain't what, we don't just say, well, we're not Christians anymore. That ought to just give us the greater determination to say, God, you come down and touch me so that I will live it right and I will walk it right so that I do touch lives and that I'm not part of the scarecrow.
Right?
And I think we could all say that to some extent we've been part of the scarecrow in the past.
That's right.
But I thank God because he does have, it is a gospel of grace and mercy. I believe that he'll help us.
Amen.
I'd like for everyone to bow their heads as we, Brother Tim will find something to play. I know we live in a tremendous time.
Yes.
You know, if I was the devil, I'd be fighting like crazy too. I'd be coming up with everything in the world that I could come up with to try and make people be confused and not find the simplicity of the gospel. The Bible tells us not to be careful that we're not beguiled and tricked and pulled away from the simplicity of the gospel in Jesus Christ. Now, I know that there's been a lot of confusion, a lot of things out there. I just want to take this time and ask you, saints, do you feel like that maybe that you have had questions and they didn't get answered right, or you've witnessed things that you didn't think was exactly right, or you've expressed things that maybe wasn't right? You'd like to just ask God in this special moment right now, just a simple thing to ask God, Lord, for him to look down upon you and your situation. Whatever you've seen or whatever you've done, whatever you've witnessed, whatever Satan has perpetrated upon you, doesn't make any difference because Satan cannot defeat God. But whatever you've seen it happen, and you would ask God, Lord, I need a special touch right now, that you would come down and that you would make sense of what has happened. That you would come down and wash away the confusion. Lord, because your word, it says in his word is he's not the author of confusion. If you would like that, I'd just like for you to raise your hand. We're all bowing our hearts. I have my hand raised too. We're going to pray. And as I said last night, that's the way we show our badge of authority. We don't have power, but we do have authority. And we show our badge by coming with God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come to you now. We thank you for your blessings upon us. We thank you for a word, the word of God that will change this world and change our world.
Yes.
God that is able to penetrate the darkest of nights.
Yes.
Lord, able to fix the worst situations that have ever come and ever will come. Lord, we thank you for that kind of word, that kind of Savior that's in our midst.
Yes.
Who's never failed, never will fail. A Savior that understands every emotion and every swing, every mood swing that we have, every thing that happens to us and how it affects us. Lord, we're so thankful that you understand those things and you know how to touch our hearts, Lord. You know how to mend that heart that you created. We ask God, Lord, together with one voice, that you would bless each one of us, Lord, and you would come down, speak to us and touch us, Lord, and whatever it is that's confused in our hearts, whatever it is that's got us all tricked up, we just pray, God, that you would unleash us now, that we could walk in a greater walk with you.
Yes.
Lord, I believe that you have a great desire to move among your people in this hour.
Yes, Father.
And Lord, you said in your word that every time the enemy comes in like a flood, you raise up a standard.
Yes.
And I know, God, that your people are a people that are tried. There are people that are familiar with tribulation. There are people that are familiar with persecution. But God, you've said and promised that you would always be with us. And we accept that now. We confess it, Lord, that you are our helper. You are our hope and our stay. You are our peace that passes all understanding. You've broken down that wall of separation and allowed us to come into your presence, Lord. We confess you as our all in all and as the one to straighten out any confusion that we have and straighten out our lives. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings upon us. We love you, Lord. Just lift up praises to your holy name.
Yes, Lord.
Love you, Lord. Ask for your blessings upon every person that's here today. Go with him, Lord. Let your Holy Spirit deal with him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's sing that song.
There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I can search for all eternity.
a chance, saints. You give him a chance, take a step toward him, he'll take more than a step back toward you. And just before we get ready to go, I had a couple of things I wanted to just kind of announce to you. We've been talking about midweek service, and I still haven't heard from some of you what you're thinking about that, but for the ones that have spoken to me about it, Wednesday night was not a good night for at least one family, but I think because of school. And so we're thinking now that what we would like to do is we'd start midweek services on Thursday night, the first Thursday night in June. That would be June 6th. And we will see what the Lord has for us on that. Maybe just regular services like we have on Sunday. Might be that we may go into a Bible study type fashion. There has been a request made that we provide an avenue for question and answers to be submitted. And so I'm okay with that. The saints can write your questions down on the cards we have in the back. You can turn them in. You can put them in the offering plate if you want to, or just see to it that they get to me. And of course, with it being questions, it might be that there would be a little time to get the answers together for that. But we do want to go into a midweek service. We've been wanting to for a while, and so just believe the Lord will meet us there and give us supply the needs that we have on that. And also, again, I want you to remember that if you have questions, and I do want to open up the avenue for question and answers, so you can write those things down, type them on paper, whatever, it doesn't matter. But just make sure and get them to us. And we will try to answer those if we have to even set aside a special time for answers to be given. That's fine also. And so, has that sound okay to everyone? So I think 7 o'clock, we'll start with 7 o'clock service on Thursday night, June 6th, and go from there, see what the Lord has for us. this week I'm having to travel, be in the Carolinas from Monday through Friday, so I ask that you would pray for me.
Amen.
I don't really care for traveling for a secular job, but I have to sometimes, and this is one of those times. But you just pray that the Lord will bless those airplanes that I have to get on. I have to get on about 4 different flights, and those, I don't care how many times, I've probably done it probably close to 85 or 90 times now. And it's not something you get used to, because that's a contraption man has made. And man, everything man touches is just messes up, But I had a guy tell me the other day, he said, he said, if the government could figure out a way to control the weather, he said, they could, he started talking about how they could do the crops and I just said, they'd mess it up. Just there's no way. They just mess it up. So we don't even want to go there.
Yeah.
Right. So, but you, I just ask that you pray. And I think I will get a chance to be in service out there with Brother Gerald Hughes on Wednesday. So looking forward to that. And Brother Marcus, some of you know him, he'll be traveling with me, so it'll be a good time for he and I to fellowship. And I told him already, I said, get your questions together. I know you got questions about the message, about what things are. And I said, you get those together, we'll have plenty of time to discuss those. So you be in prayer about that. And last announcement is I'd like to meet with the officers of the church. As soon as service is over with, we're going to meet just for a few minutes. So if we just do that. Amen. How many enjoy the word?
Amen.
Amen. Like I said, Brother Josh covered a lot of territory. There's a lot of good concepts there, that are good seeds that we could take and just go off and study on and pray about. A lot of good things for us to glean from there. So we just thank the Lord for that. I want to bow our hearts in prayer just before we leave. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your blessings this day. And Lord, as we go to travel, there's different ones going home, we just ask for your blessings upon their travels, their safety. We ask that you bless Brother Josh and Brother Aaron, Lord, as they travel, maybe 8 or 9 hours tonight that they will be traveling to get home. We pray, God, that you would anoint their trip all the way, that they would fellowship just like the two to Emmaus, that you would join with them and they would just let their hearts burn within them as you would just bless them as they come a long way, sacrifice, Lord, to be down here. This is a burden of their hearts. And so we know, God, because of that, you will bless them, be with them, and we ask that you protect them all along the way. Lord, this week that you be with the saints. Lord, if there's any trouble that rises, we pray, God, that you would just settle it right quick. Lord, and just be the master of every situation of all of our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless you, saints. You're dismissed.
Oh, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus.